Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And man, I tell you what, I'm going to wax a little nostalgic at the beginning of the show today because I saw this story about how the SeattlePI.com, which used to be the Seattle Post-Intelligencer newspaper, they had a bunch of layoffs, and they're down to just five staffers. Five staffers. This was a cash cow back when I was a kid, and it made me think about how I'm so connected to newspapers and how it led to my love of news. And now they need to just shutter the thing with only five people, and they're just looking for clickbait now. And one of the terrific reporters that they had there is one of the guys that left. So let's get right to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
When you started in news, Ursula, this was a pretty vibrant two newspaper town.
Oh, yeah.
And when did you start here? About 30 years ago?
Exactly 30 years ago. Yeah, in September. It'll be 30. So 1988, September 11th.
Okay, so they were both delivered in the mornings then, mm-hmm. the Times and the PI.
We actually got both papers.
Yeah.
I would read both papers.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, it was required reading.
When I was a kid, we would get the PI in the morning, and then you'd get the Seattle Times late afternoon. And so a lot of my buddies were newspaper carriers for either one of the newspapers. But I was thinking about the PI specifically because, first of all, you and I agree, newspapers are an important part of, you know, just the journalistic spectrum.
Not just important, critical.
Critical, yeah. And it's sad what's happened to the PI. They had one reporter there, Levi Pulkkinen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, but he's one of the guys who left. And I thought he was still cranking out a lot of really good stuff mm-hmm. and was interesting and made it worth reading. And he's gone now, and they're down to five people. Five people writing all their web content.
Which that's a tremendous responsibility for only five people.
They used to have hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of people. But I was thinking back to, I don't know why this is what jumped to my mind, but the PI and the Seattle Times, both when I was about 7, 8 years old, contributed mightily to my lifetime as a degenerate gambler.
Okay, how's that?
Because during football season, they had, it had a dotted line around it, and it was called, in the Seattle Times, it was called the Guest Guesser. And in the PI, it was called Football Forecast. And it would have college and NFL games, and you would have to put an X next to the team you thought was going to win. And you couldn't make photocopies of these entries.
Yeah.
But you could turn in as many original entries as long as they were on newspaper stock. You could turn in as many as you wanted.
So you were out there grabbing as many newspapers as you could, clipping them out?
So I would, because I think it appeared Monday, Tuesday in both the Times and the PI. And I would go about a 5-block radius from my house, door to door, every single week. I'd go door to door, do you have Monday or Tuesday? I'd go on, I think, either Tuesday evening or Wednesday. I don't remember which. Do you have Monday and Tuesday's sports sections? And it got to the point where, you know, a few people were kind of annoyed by it. But
would some people just leave the papers out for you?
Most everybody in this 5-block radius would just set aside the sports section for me. Aww. And know that I was going to come knocking at the door. And then I would go home, and I might have 30 guest guessers and 20 football forecast coupons. and I would very strategically make my X's. And there were some games that were going to be blowouts, and I'd pick that game.
Okay,
the same.
How old were you again?
7 or 8.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. Huh.
Wow.
And so I developed this system, and I would have about 14 games that I would pick the same way. And then on the remaining 6 games, I needed, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. If I could get 64 newspapers, I could cover every combo of the 6 closest matched games. And then, because I wouldn't really have time to do it until Friday, and you had to get the guest guesser and football forecast coupons in by, I believe it was midnight Friday.
Uh-huh.
Because there were Saturday college games. So my poor mom, bless her heart, every Friday evening, about 9 o'clock, we'd climb in the Olds, and she would drive me to downtown Seattle because they had a drop box where you could put the football forecast and guest guesser coupons.
Okay, that is the sweetest visual for me right now.
Oh, and then on Saturday afternoons, because you couldn't get scores. There was no internet. TV
yes.
would just cover the big games. So I would sit glued to the radio because on the Husky football radio postgame show, they would do scores from around the country. And I had a sheet of paper. It was just, you know, regular, the lined mm-hmm. paper you use for school assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a grid of every game matchup and every one of my 20 entry coupons and which way I picked. And I would just listen for final scores. And then I'd circle it. And because I think you could win, it was like $100 if you were the weekly winner. And if you were the seasonal winner, the yearly champion, you got, I don't remember what it was. I never won the seasonal.
You would win some of the hundreds?
I won the weekly once or twice. Yeah, once or twice I won the weekly. But it was just...
So it wasn't even about the articles for you. You just, you know, are nostalgic because of the start of your gambling career.
But I also remember driving down to that PI building when it was down on Broad, just south of Denny. And it had the huge
globe
above it.
Right.
And it was magical. It was just magical for me. And then we'd go to the Seattle Times building there on Fairview, and I'd drop off those coupons. But I looked at those buildings, and I had this sense of awe and wonder. And they're both, you know, the Times is a shell, and they're struggling bad at the Times.
Yes.
And it's a shell. They had 20 layoffs or so last year. And then the PI basically doesn't exist anymore, especially after this week's layoffs. And it just made me sad because, again, I feel such a connection to them from my childhood here.
That's
my little story.
That is sad.
I told you about when my friend Christina and I pitched the column at the Seattle Times.
Okay, let me guess. Were you 9 at this point? No, you didn't say that, but how old were you then?
9. Yeah, they had just launched on the back of the Saturday B section a kids page. And my friend Christina and I thought, well, if you're going to have a kids page, you should have a kid Dear Abby type column. And so we wrote...
Oh, that's a great idea.
We wrote a question and answers... And then we got a meeting with the editor of the page at the Seattle Times, and we went down there, and they were very encouraging, but they didn't hire us. But we pitched them just out of the blue.
Aww.
So I have all these wonderful memories, and now I look at PI's bye-bye. Yeah.
Well, when I first started working here, I worked at 2 a.m. Shift, and I would actually have to... we would get like 8 or 9 newspapers so that everyone could have their own copy in the newsroom.
Sure.
I mean, and I will say that I mean, we rely a lot on newspapers. I mean, absolutely.
When I started,
then and now.
When I started this show, we didn't have the web 23 years ago. And so we were literally cutting articles out of the paper, and we'd do stories from 3 days ago. because you didn't get stuff day right. of, or right. I mean, now we try to make everything as immediate as possible, and you don't even see a hard copy newspaper yeah. anywhere anymore. So anyway, layoffs, massive layoffs at the PI this week, and they are down to just after having hundreds of people back in the 60s and 70s, and Seattle was one of the great newspaper towns in America. The Times is really struggling. And then I also thought about how, for our show, you know, we got Jennings, who we just hired, to write all our show content, and she's cranking out all this stuff for My Northwest. And we're actually hiring people mm-hmm. here for our show, and these other mediums are, and I don't look at it as any kind of competitive triumph, because I wish we still had the heyday of newspapers in town.
Well, and I'm encouraged that there are some newspapers that are kind of thriving, I mean, still, because of, you know, what is going on in the world. But, yeah, we cannot afford to not have newspapers yeah. in society.
Yeah, I mean, Bezos is propping up the Washington Post. The only two newspapers that have really figured out how to monetize things are the New York Times and the Wall
right.
Street Journal.
Right.
Those are the two that have figured out how to monetize things in a digital age. But the rest, so I don't know what the future is for the Times, but the PI, they sadly should just shutter the website now, because they're down to pretty much nothing after the layoffs there this week. But they'll be missed, and they are missed. They are missed. And they don't have a presence in that waterfront building where they moved the Globe. The Globe is just there as this vestige of a distant past.
Right.
And somebody pays the power to keep that thing lit, because it was such a cool part of our Seattle nightline back then. Okay, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
As Ursula mentioned in her newscast, the Seahawks, we told you yesterday that they scheduled a workout with Colin Kaepernick, and then they canceled it because Colin Kaepernick would not pledge to stand for the national anthem. He said, yeah, I can't tell you that I'm not going to keep up my antics. And the Seahawks said, okay, well, we're not going to sign you then. And we're not even going to bring you in for a workout. And now it looks like Colin Kaepernick is completely off the board for the Seahawks, because they just signed a quarterback. He's kind of been a career backup guy. His name is Stephen Morris. He was an undrafted free agent signed by Jacksonville in 2014. He's spent time with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Washington Redskins. They waived him. And so it looks like the Seahawks, and they still could do something in the draft, of course. They could sign somebody else on the beach. But it looks like whatever interest there was in Colin Kaepernick, they have moved on. And I'll repeat what I said yesterday. How foolish of Colin Kaepernick to decide. And the window to be an NFL player is incredibly small. The average career is 2.5 years. And if you're really good, you know, Russell Wilson, he might have a 15-year career. Tom Brady's going to have a 20-year career. But Colin Kaepernick, it's already a small window. He did not play at all last year. And here's a team, the Seahawks, who were willing to bring him in for a workout, but they wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be a distraction, that he wasn't going to be somebody that would turn off the fans. Michael Bennett, who sat for the anthem every game but one last season, he's been traded to the Eagles. And the Seahawks, I think, would like to just get back to football. And Colin Kaepernick wouldn't give them his word that he would stand for the anthem. That is the report that we are hearing. How foolish is Kaepernick? You can protest all you want in the evening. You can protest on your Tuesday off day. And more importantly, you can protest the rest of your life after your football career. But to throw away and decide that social activism is more important to you than playing football, maybe teams aren't turning their back on you because of your social activism. maybe teams are turning their back on you because football is not your top priority. And they want people who are all in, committed to winning above all else. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, this just strikes me as another incredibly stupid waste of time and money by local government. There are a couple of trails here in Washington that go from across the Cascade Mountains and all the way into Idaho. One of them is called the John Wayne Pioneer Trail. And it's named that because the group that helped secure this trail, it used to be an old railroad trail bed, and they've pulled up the tracks, but they had a group that said, hey, we'd like to help save this for hikers. And the group was called Friends of the John Wayne Trail. And so the trail is called the Giant John Wayne Pioneer Trail. It was, you know, a volunteer nonprofit that formed, and they said, hey, we'll help you save this railroad bed, but we do want it to be named after our group, apparently. Okay, so now the state of Washington has come along and said, you know what? We cannot call it the John Wayne Trail. And you want to know why? We got a press release from Washington State Parks. And it's two trails, the Iron Horse State Park Trail. And I've hiked through the Iron Horse Tunnel, which I believe is the longest hiking trail tunnel in the country. I mean, you are in pitch black for about 40 minutes as you walk through this trail. You have to have flashlights, but it is an old railroad trail. So that's the Iron Horse Trail, and then it connects to the John Wayne Pioneer Trail. Well, State Parks has sent out a press release saying, we need to have one name for the trail. It's too confusing to have the Iron Horse Trail connect to the John Wayne Pioneer Trail. And then, because political correctness is the only thing government seems to care about these days, they said that the new trail name has to reflect culturally significant history, events and places, geologic features, or botanic or biological references. So they're proposing calling it the Cascaloose State Park Trail, a contraction of Cascade and Palouse, the Columbian State Park Trail, the Washington State Park Trail, Milwaukee Road State Park Trail, because that was the railroad that operated there. Why can't we have something named after John Wayne? I know he's not locally connected, but the group that saved the trail was the John Wayne Trail Organization. Why can't we just honor, if you want historically significant, honor the group that put in all the time and sweat and labor to save this for the public? But no, it's not politically correct enough for our state. So we got to rename trails now. Like, that's our biggest problem around here these days. That is your big lead for this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
I am so excited for my guest this next half hour. The great Eddie Money joins me next on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio, 206-726-6819.
winter. All the hearts I had to break. I have to live with my mistakes.
Oh, man, this is the brand new song by a guy I'm really excited to have on my show because I just love the music of Eddie Money. And the legendary Eddie Money joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Eddie, what a pleasure to have you on with me today.
I got to tell you, man, Dory, you got a lot of great fans out there. I want to say hi to Michelle and to Peter and to Rodney. I mean, it's great to be on the show. And thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I love your new song, but I got to tell you, Eddie, back in the earliest days of MTV, I was one of those, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids who just watched way too much of it. And, man, you you dominated the early days of MTV. You were one of those guys who just figured out this is a rocket boost to my career, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I had a manager called Bill Graham. He's actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a rock impresario.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought Led Zeppelin to the United States and Queen, and they had a big thing called the Carousel Ballroom in San Francisco. And he actually thought that this whole video thing was going to be big. So me and like Huey Lewis and a couple of artists, you know, got into it, and all of a sudden I was the heartbeat of MTV, which was a lot of fun. I knew that Dina Blackwell and Martha Quinn and Adam, you know, Adam. There was a lot of great people, and it was a good time of my life. It was fun to get on. When MTV first came out, they didn't even have any commercials or nothing. It was strictly music 24 hours a day, you know?
Yeah, and you must have just had the foresight and, you know, with Bill Graham, but you must have known that this is a way to cut through all the noise of the business and just, you know, make a real impact visually and musically.
Well, it's very true, but now when I look back at those old videos that I did, like Wanna Go Back or Was Shaking, I look like a singing shoe salesman, you know. I look like a guy that people wear. My hair was never really super long on some of those things, but it was a lot of folks. The Apollonia was in that, and of course we did the Think I'm in Love video with me getting dressed up like Dracula.
Right.
And my ex-wife's in that one, so we don't really see that one around the house much.
Okay.
But we've made a lot of great videos and had a lot of fun. You
yeah,
know?
Well, you just mentioned Shaking here. Let me play a little bit of that. But I think it was very endearing to, you know, the viewers, because you kind of had that crooked mouth and you just looked like you were having fun. You looked like you were having a blast doing all of that.
Well, it was a lot of fun because Apollonia, she was at Apollonia from Purple Rain.
Yeah.
The first thing Apollonia ever did was my video, the Shaking video. And, then we had the guys with the cars that were jumping up and down, the Spanish guys with the cars.
Yeah.
Boy, they would have killed you if you would have touched one of the cars. And at the time, Apollonia was going with a guy that was a karate expert, and he wanted to break my arms. I didn't know. It was crazy, but, you know, it was fun. The Shaking video was really big, and you're talking about Rosanna's daddy had a car that she loved to drive, blew up the speakers in a daddy's radio. I mean, what person out there have not blown up speakers in their parents' radio in the car? Come on, all of us have done that, you know?
That's right. Oh, man. There's one song in particular that, I don't know if this was your biggest hit. I'm guessing maybe it was. Was Take Me Home Tonight your biggest hit?
That and Two Tickets to Paradise and Walk on Water, Wanna Go Back. I mean, it's a toss-up, but Take Me Home Tonight was great because Ronnie Spector was in it, and the video was great. I wish they would have let me keep that jacket that I had on. I loved that. Somebody owned that jacket. I was trying to buy that jacket for the last 10 years.
But that
Take Me Home Tonight video was really a lot of fun because Ronnie looked amazing in it. And I think it was a big hit because it had two choruses that had Take Me Home Tonight, and it also had the chorus Be My Little Baby.
Yeah,
that she sang from original hit.
Well, walk me through this. I mean, I want to go through this musically and creatively with you. So you mentioned that her original song was Be My Baby, this one here. And, yeah, she just had such a distinctive voice, Eddie. And take me through the creatively, you hearing that song and then you integrating it into into your song?
Well, the thing is that when they sent me the song was written by a couple of guys in England, and they sent me this song, and everybody liked the chorus. But what I really loved about the song was Be My Little Baby, because when I was a kid, Be My Little Baby was the biggest hit in the world. It's just like Dennis Wilson from Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. That's also his favorite song. And that was one of my favorite songs. And I called Ronnie up, and she had quit the business. She wasn't in the business anymore. I called her up, and she said, oh, you're Eddie Money, that song, Two Tickets to Paradise. Yeah. I said, what are you doing? She said, I don't sing anymore. It was a bunch of clinking and clacking. Yeah. She was doing the dishes. She had a couple of kids, and she got married to a lawyer. She was doing the dishes, and I talked her into coming out and being in the video and being on that song. And I got to tell you, she got the bug back. And then she started going back out on the road again. And what's not better than going to see Ronnie Spector sing and Be My Little Baby?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and just the way, so here was your version that included her, of course. What? The way she sings that, Addie, that's one of the sexier lines in rock and roll, the way she sings that in your song there.
Well, yeah, she's a girl from, she's like me, she's a Brooklyn girl. I don't even remember, there's an older group called Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. They had a song called Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Do fools fall in love? And she grew up in the same neighborhood as Frankie Lyman. And if you listen to Frankie Lyman sing and you listen to Ronnie Spector sing, she copied Frankie Lyman from Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. You know?
Okay. And, you know, like I said, I was 17, 18 years old. And the other thing that was notable about that video was I thought, those are the greatest legs I've ever seen in my entire life on Ronnie Spector.
Yes, she was a pretty girl, no doubt. And she's a great person, too, you know. I mean, she knew John Lennon really well and the Beatles, because the Beatles used to open her up in London before they became famous.
Is that right?
And then when they came and they went, yeah, when they stayed at the Plaza Hotels, they were prisoners of their own fans, and Ronnie Spector snuck them out of the hotel for 2 days and took them over to Brooklyn. They had a great time.
Wow. And then I was, as I was preparing to talk to you today, I was going through a bunch of videos last night, and I want to talk about your TV show that just started up, because your whole family's involved. And I saw this video of you singing that song, but it's your daughter in the Ronnie Spector role, and here's a little bit of that. What's it like to do that song in concert with your daughter now?
Well, my daughter, she just loves Etta James, and she loves Ronnie Spector. She's really, I think she's in a time warp. I think she's really born like in the early 50s like me, but she's very talented, and it's a lot of fun having her on stage. And on the TV show, though, she put the car in reverse rather than put it in drive. I bought her a brand new Jeep. And I was wondering what happened to the Jeep, and she wrecked the Jeep. She ran into a wall with the Jeep. And I came back, and they put the mics on me, and I had no idea, because when I bought her the Jeep, you know, when you're paying for a car, even if your daughter's driving it, you feel like it's your car.
Right.
I mean, she's not the one. It's just my, you know, it's my car that I bought for her. And then when I came home, and they put the mics on me, and they showed me the car,
yeah,
it was like $7,000 to $12,000 damage, and I just hit the ceiling. And it might have been great TV, but I was ready to kill her. You know that?
Oh, man. Hey, Eddie, hold on. Eddie Money is with us, and I want to talk more about his Access TV show and the phenomenal career that he's put together. Eddie Money is going to spend another segment with us straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. We have the great Eddie Money with us. And, man, I've enjoyed talking with you, Eddie. And I want to talk about your TV show in just a moment. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about, my wife and I have three daughters. And when they were little, maybe, I don't know, 15, 18 years ago, we'd go to Vegas. And I didn't have any money back then. And my girls love the swimming pool at the Flamingo. And I tell Eddie, you, that promo of you, because you were doing a residency there, weren't you?
Yeah, no, I played the Flamingo a bit, too. That was a great hotel. And they got really a fantastic pool that you're at. I bet your little girls love that pool.
They did.
That pool. That's not around anymore, is it, the Flamingo?
No,
that's
Flamingo's cold, still there. Right? No, it's still there.
Okay.
Yeah, but, the in-house channel, your song in the promo of your concert was just running constantly. And every time I go to Vegas and see the Flamingo, I think of you.
Well, thank you very much. When I think of the Flamingo, I think about a lot of crazy times I had there. I was in that, back in the 70s and 80s, I was a wild man, you know. But I quit drinking a while because I didn't want my kids to grow up thinking their father was a pothead or an alcoholic. And you try to set a good example for your kids, you know. But now my kids go out and they drink, and it drives me crazy because they're over 21. I liked it better when they couldn't drink.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me some of the wildest. When you say you were a wild man, what are some of the wildest stories you have to share?
Well, we played the Yes Festival with 650,000 people, and I think this was on the Dan Rather interview. You can Google the Dan Rather interview on Access TV. And I said, what are we going to do? I said, Bill, it's like 97 degrees out there. Why don't we lightly spray the fans with the hoses? So in the middle of give me some water, I said, okay, Bill, give them the hoses. And it was lit up the whole crowd. People really loved it. You know, I've done shows with Cyndi Lauper, and I've done shows at Madison Square Garden. I went over and I played Budokan over there in Japan. I mean, I've had a long and crazy career, but I did a lot of crazy things. I know that much.
Yeah.
Got away with it. I don't know.
And what's the secret to longevity? Because there are a lot of guys who burned really hot back in the late 70s, early 80s, and then they just faded. And then there's some, like yourself, who have stayed really relevant. What's the secret to that?
I think you've got to stay contemporary. You know, you've got to listen to, it's like this new song I have, Brand New Day. I'm using Wattie Wattel on guitar. Now, Wattie Wattel just finished playing a whole tour with Joe Walsh, and now he's playing with him when he's out with Stevie Nicks. And he's a great guitar player, and Stevie is very, very current. And like that song, Brand New Day, it's like, you know, it's like coming out with Take Me Home Tonight. You know, it's like we were going to use Martha Davis from the Motels on Take Me Home Tonight. I said, no, we got to get Ronnie Spector, the original woman that played on Take Me Home Tonight. Went out and got her.
Sure.
And, you know, I've been very lucky. And I just, you know, I listen to a lot of stuff that's going on the radio. And my kids keep me sharp. And, you know, you got to be at the right place at the right time. But, you know, I had a baby hold on to Thick Sprout. I Take Me Home Tonight. I Want to Go Back. Think I'm in Love. Walk on Water. Give Me Some Water. Shaking. I mean, we had a, you know, Peace in Our Time. I was, you know, I'm very lucky to have to stay on the radio.
Yeah.
I think maybe somebody up there likes me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'd say that is so. So tell me about this TV show. So it's a reality show with your wife and your five kids. They all live at home with you?
You know, the trouble is, I don't think I'm ever going to have the empty nest. I talked to a lot of friends of mine, and a lot of their kids in their 20s, they moved back home because they, instead of paying first and last month's rent, then they got to pay for their insurance for their driving. Then they got to pay for food, their cell phone, if they got a door. You know, it's very expensive for young people to go out on their own these days. It's very, very, you know, it's harder.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids are all living at home. But, you know, I don't mind the kids living at home because being the son of a cop, I like to keep my eye on the kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they still go out and drink. I want to make sure that they're not driving, drinking and things like that. And, you know, it's like, I don't think I'm going to, you know, I love my kids. I'm a typical, and they want to start picking on the kids. Like if my son plays the wrong chord on a tune in one of my songs, going, why are you using that chord?
Yeah.
And my wife would say to me, quit picking on the kids. What are you, Joe Jackson? Can you believe that? But I think they'll get a kick out of the TV show because it's very real. None of it was really prompted, you know, which is good.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of surprises in the TV show that surprised me, too, believe me.
It looks like kind of a crazy household. And Daddy looks like he's still... I know that you say that you've cleaned up from your craziest days, but Daddy looks like he still has a little crazy in it.
You know what? You know, what? All the, you know, what's snorting cocaine and drinking a lot of vodka and Irish coffees in the morning, it's, you know... I mean, I had a lot of fun out there, but I never used to get loaded when I worked, but it was after work is when I used to get high. But the thing is, I did a lot of crazy things, and I had a lot of fun. I had a drug overdose on that fentanyl, which also killed Tom Petty. It killed Prince. And I'm just so glad that, you know, my kids are smarter than me. They're very talented, and they don't even put CD players in cars anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the most important thing is to go out there and have a good live show. Now, my daughter sings with me. My son plays drums. Desmond plays guitar for me, and he got his own songs in the set. And my kids go over great. They play a couple of their songs on stage, and it's like me doing Two Tickets Pirates are Shaking. And to see my kids go over, it really puts a feather on my cap. I'm proud of my children. My wife doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke. I married my mother. She drives me crazy, but what are you going to do?
And Eddie's show, Real Money, it's on Sunday nights on Axis TV. And, yeah, everybody should check it out. It's a really fun show. And, Eddie, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed having you on. It means a lot to me that all your buddies here in Seattle listen to my show. I liked hearing that.
Well, they love. You know, they love your show, too, and it's great, too, because you got a lot of fans out there. And, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, you're honest, you got a great approach, and you give a great interview. And besides that, you know what I loved about you? You did your homework.
Of course.
You did your homework. You had that baby over on, you take me home tonight, you said everything, and my daughter singing. I'm very impressed. I really, that's why your show's so successful, because you're a smart young man.
Well, and I was smart enough to know to close. I know how to have a big close to an interview, Eddie, and Two Tickets to Paradise is how we got to close out this one. This is a great, great song, man.
Well, now they've got two tickets to Betty Ford, and a lot of people don't want to come.
Eddie Money, check out his show every Sunday night on Axis TV. It's called Real Money. And, Eddie, you're part of the soundtrack of my life, and I loved having you on with me this afternoon.
At Dory Monson's show, I want to say hi to Bridget, to Marianne, to Pizza Face. He doesn't have the world's greatest complexion, but he plays a lot like Jimi Hendrix. And I tell you, Seattle-Tacoma, it's the greatest place in the world to live up there. The air is nice and clean. You got a lot of rain, and the people are the greatest. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, come by the studio and visit with me in person next time you're in town, okay?
You know me, my wife loves Santa. I'll get up there and we'll have a lot of fun.
Okay. All right, Eddie. Eddie Money's Real Money, Sunday nights, Axis TV. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, Dory, have a great day. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. The great Eddie Money with us. And we have lots more to come after we check the news at the top of the hour here on the Dory Monson Show.